In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God pierces this world by his incarnation, and everything changes. The battle has spilled into all-out war. Herod hates this child. Satan licks his chops to do to him what he had done to Adam. Secretly, Herod tells the Magi to inform him of the child's location, so that he too may go and worship him. But Herod is no believer. He wants to give a steel sword, not gold, and a quick death, not frankincense. This child must fall down at Herod's feet in homage, in death, for Herod claims to be king in Israel. And so the search begins. No stone is left unturned, no house is skipped over. He leaves a wake of innocent blood while the king of Israel, the true king, is safely hidden away in Egypt. No chariots of fire or horses of fire surround the Bethlehem mountains. No pillar of cloud divides Israel from the army. The soldiers are not blinded. Fire does not fall from heaven. All those happened in the Old Testament to save God's people. But no angel appears to their fathers, and Joseph does not warn them. But again, how would he know? He would not be able to estimate what Herod's rage would be. He simply obeys the word of God and whisks the child away immediately in the dead of night to Egypt. Standing between them and Herod's wrath are the Bethlehem children. Rachel's cries shatter Bethlehem's peace. Rachel was the wife of Jacob. She was barren for quite some time, and then the Lord gave to her a son, Joseph. Joseph was the one sold by his brothers into slavery. She became pregnant again. And when they were traveling near Bethlehem, she went into labor. It was a very difficult and painful labor, which resulted in her death. But she had given birth to yet another son. She named him Ben-Oni, which means son of my trouble. His father, Jacob, changed his name to Benjamin, son of my right hand. And now these Bethlehem mothers once again weep because of their sons. They have brought trouble upon their mothers. But it is not the mothers who die, but this time the sons. And it's not a natural death, but an unjust death. The happiness of pregnancy and the joy of bringing a son into the world ends in mourning because of a tyrant. We expect more from God. Does the Creator King really run away at the first sign of danger to leave behind the holy innocents? Why would God allow such a tragedy to happen? Why couldn't these children be spared? Must they bleed to spare Jesus? Where is the glory of God? Where is the peace that the Bethlehem angels proclaimed to the shepherds? The answer is not satisfying to our reason. So that the scriptures would be fulfilled, out of Egypt I have called my son. We must repent. We have no right to challenge God. He knows what he is doing. The gods we fabricate never save, and they certainly do not fulfill the scriptures. They are too materialistic, too worldly, too selfish, because they are too much like us. So listen to the word, ponder it, and treasure it in your heart so you may learn of the true God. As the patriarch Joseph took his family to Egypt to be spared from the famine, so also this Joseph brings his family to Egypt to be spared Herod's sword. You see, the scriptures must be fulfilled, for God will keep his word. The time had not yet come. He must grow in stature and in wisdom, in favor with God and with men. He must keep the law of God in our place. He must be humble. And in humility we find his glory. No one can take his life from him, but he willingly will lay it down. Herod's rage will not reach him. Satan's fury cannot consume him. But he will return. He will return to bleed for these innocent babies, even as they have bled for him. And it is by his blood they are ushered into heaven. For all children are born sinful and under the dominion of Satan and of death. They deserve eternal death in hell. No one is innocent. So it is only by the blood of Christ that these children are whisked away into heavenly paradise. For they too believe, even as you and I believe. They were brought into the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the covenant of circumcision. They are children of God, and now they rest with their dear Father. No one gets heaven because he suffers an unjust death. No one gains heaven because of his horrific end or because of his age. But Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Heaven is given to these children because of Christ and what he will accomplish for them by his cross. He is their atoning sacrifice, even as he is ours. No one compels him to go. He goes to fulfill the word of God. He will not back away from his promise. He will not get cold feet. But he flees to show you and these boys faithfulness. He returns to do the same. His weakness is greater than Herod's power. His weakness is greater than Pilate's judgment. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, so he willingly goes and suffers. That was his time. But not today. Today the babes of Bethlehem fight so that he might escape. These brave boys fight as Christ fights, by laying down their life and shedding their blood. They pick up their crosses and willingly follow Christ, their King. As the faith of a child is the epitome of faith, so also the death of a child is the epitome of a Christian death. So do not be troubled by this, for in death they have gained the victory through Christ. God rescued them from Herod and from the devil and brought them into the kingdom of Christ forever. They stand with the 144,000 forever praising Christ for all that he has done for them. They have been spared the pains, the sufferings, the difficulties of this life on earth. So what Herod intended for evil, God used for their good. To God, there is no such thing as a premature death. To God, no one fails to reach the fullness of his days. We do well to remember what God has spoken through the psalmist. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And again, our times are in his hands. And so these two-year-old children reached the fullness of their life. And he taught their mothers to live by faith in his promise, even as their babies died by faith in his promise. For what are 50 years of separation compared to the eternities of a heavenly reunion with their blessed, brave martyrs? God entered this world to change everything. Satan tried to undo the incarnation by bringing Christ to a premature end, but he failed. Still, he swings wildly at anyone and anything near Christ. If he were able, he would bring the same fate upon our children and fill our eyes with Rachel's tears. He's a liar and a murderer who slays with swords, with words, and with earthly treasures. But though he still fiercely fights, we can rest in peace. For God is born, and his word is fulfilled. This day makes it quite clear to us that Christ did not come to make this world a better place. He came for eternal things. He came to redeem us from this world and to bring us into his heavenly kingdom. Herod died, not the Christ child. Herod lost. But Christ, when he died, would rise from the grave in victory. Death will someday separate us from our beloved. The tears of these mothers is our future fate. There is much joy in having children and raising them, but sorrow always comes. This earth is not our home. We rejoice for a time, But unless our Lord returns, we too will die at the fullness of our time, even if it is at a very early age. But whoever loves his children more than Christ is not worthy of Christ. And whoever loves his life more than Christ will lose his life. So it is only in Christ that everything changes for us for the good. Christ has kept his word to us. He has fulfilled the scriptures. And so we cannot lose, no matter what we lose. Today, these children receive that victory won by Christ. And that same victory is ours forever. A blessed Christmas to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.